I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. KSL News Time is 12:01, and this is Friday, April 17th, and this is Utah's Noon News. I'm Maria Chaleos. Beautiful sunshine in downtown Salt Lake City, and right now we have a very pleasant 46 degrees.
Northbound I-15 still closed in Draper. I'm Ricky Meese.
KSL's top story this hour.
Coronavirus. Special coverage on Utah's Noon News.
Testing for the coronavirus at the Men's Homeless Resource Center in South Salt Lake has turned up nearly 100 positive cases of COVID-19. The outbreak has caused the center to essentially shut down for new clients. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has more.
Health workers tested 205 men at the Resource Center in South Salt Lake, and 46% of them came back as positive for COVID-19. That is high, but officials with the Salt Lake County Health Department say it is within range of what they would expect in places where large groups of people essentially live together in one big house. Six of the 95 needed to go to the hospital, four are still there, but nobody needed ventilators or intensive care treatment.
Officials say everyone who tested positive for the virus has been put in isolation. A trio of organizations are unveiling the largest Utah-based volunteer effort since the 2002 Olympic Winter Games. KSL News Radio's John Wojcik reports.
Project Protect is a collaboration between Intermountain Healthcare, U of U Health, and Latter-day Saint Charities. Dan Lewinquest, Senior Vice President and Chief Strategy Officer at Intermountain Healthcare, says the goal is to create 5 million medical-grade masks. In order to do that, they're going to need some help.
We're asking for about 10,000 volunteers a week for the next 5 weeks to help us in this project.
The masks will be for frontline health workers around Salt Lake. Additionally, the project will also help to produce reusable isolation gowns and more than 50,000 face shields. More info and your chance to sign up can be found at projectprotect.health. John Wojcik, KSL News Radio.
A bill creating a commission to recommend ways of getting Utah's economy moving again has now passed both houses of the Utah legislature. The vote in the House this morning was along party lines, 59-15. During floor debate, Representative Tim Quinn says he had only one email from a constituent recommending stricter quarantine during the COVID-19 emergency.
And I have had hundreds who have expressed their concern that, one, our liberties are being taken away, but two, we've got to get back to work. We've got to put people back in their jobs.
Coming up in the next 15 minutes, Utah Governor Gary Herbert is scheduled to hold a news conference along with legislative and business leaders. The governor will give more details about Utah's plan to get the economy moving again. You'll be able to hear that news conference live right here on KSL News Radio. KSL's top national stories this hour from ABC News. Is the country as a whole ready to reopen for business? White House National Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow says he has his eye on one thing.
You got to look at the numbers, and the numbers must be reassuring, otherwise you can't do it.
The numbers he is talking about are the death trajectory numbers. He says when they are steadily going down, the question becomes not if they will reopen the country, but when they will reopen. Some unexpected results from a study of antibodies in the population in Northern California. ABC's Alex Stone with details.
Knowing how many people in the community may have actually had COVID-19 and not known it and now have the antibodies, which could offer some immunity, is critical in reopening the economy. Stanford Medicine tested 3,300 people in Santa Clara County, finding up to 4.2% have the antibodies, a far higher number than predicted. They now predict in the county of 2 million residents, up to 81,000 people may already have the antibodies. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Older Americans who don't have life insurance could now have a tougher time getting it.
With older Americans at higher risk of death from COVID-19, many of the leading U.S. life insurers are deciding that insuring the elderly is not worth the risk. Prudential, Lincoln National, and Protective temporarily halting applications or postponing approval of policies for people 80 or older. Mutual of Omaha and Penn Mutual temporarily suspending applications for people aged 70 or older. Some insurers suspending applications for people in their 60s who've had health problems like diabetes or asthma. The CDC says people 65 or older account for 8 out of 10 COVID-19 deaths. Dave Packer, ABC News.
If you use State Street in Lehigh, you're about to see detours for more than a week because of some bridge demolition. KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly has more on the closure that runs under I-15.
Starting tonight for 10 days, drivers on US 89 will be diverted onto Lehigh's Main Street near the freeway. UDOT Project spokesman Jeff Dupay says with so little traffic right now, this is actually a better option than multiple weekend and overnight closures, which was the original plan.
The detour is very short. It's short in duration, but it's also short in the length of time to go around.
For those in Salt Lake County, the 201 freeway will be closed in both directions at 5600 West in the overnight hours for the next 4 days to take down a bridge. Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
Coming up on KSL, researchers say it's a work in progress, but they are seeing encouraging signs with an experimental drug for COVID-19. And a look at your noontime drive.
Northbound I-15 remains closed due to debris on the roadway. It's closed at 114th South, but delays are passing through Draper. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
KSL News Time, 12:06.
The mic is live.
What should someone do with the stimulus check?
Spend it on goods and services.
KSL's live mic. With Lee Lunsberry.
If you're really altruistic, giving to those who are in need.
Now on 1230 till 3 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station.
Social distancing means creating physical space between yourself and others. So COVID-19, also known as coronavirus, has fewer opportunities to spread. We must minimize our impact out in the community to protect ourselves and those most vulnerable to the virus. We commend those who find creative ways to virtually check in with loved ones. Though engaging with family and friends is important, we ask you do that from your home. Stay home, stay safe. Learn more at intermountainhealthcare.org/COVID-19.
Thank you, Utah, for making Ogden's Flooring and Design your preferred place to shop for all your flooring and granite countertop needs. Times are tough right now, so they're extending their biggest free labor sale into April. Ogden's Flooring and Design locations are open, and they're taking the utmost precautions in stores and during installations for everyone's safety. Or you can visit ogdensflooring.com and request a free in-home consultation and take advantage of free installation only at Ogden's Flooring and Design.
Ogden's Flooring and Design.
Loans by Rick is working hard to be part of the solutions needed right now. So if you're trying to buy a new home or refinance suddenly, your world has turned upside down. Rick from Loans by Rick is here to bring everything back to your personal comfort level. That means buying or refinancing at the most aggressive and intelligent interest rates. And with Rick, personal safety is priority. Your process happens online, by phone, and by electronic signatures. There's even the addition of mobile notary closers, so you can sign your closing documents in your living or dining room. That way, life decisions go forward in a safe and responsible way. So here's how it happens. Visit loansbyrick.com or call 801-809-SAVE. That's 801-809-SAVE. See how seamless buying a home or refinancing can be. loansbyrick.com. Rick Kirschenbaum, NMLS 241179, and Vintage Lending, NMLS 287106, are equal housing lenders. Some restrictions apply.
Coming up in the next few minutes, Utah Governor Gary Herbert is scheduled to hold a news conference along with legislative and business leaders. The governor will give us more details about the plan to get Utah's economy moving again. You'll be able to hear that live here on KSL News Radio as soon as it does begin. Researchers at the University of Chicago are reporting some promising early findings in trials that involve the medication remdesivir. Now, they call their trial work a work in progress, but say that they are encouraged that the drug originally designed to treat Ebola patients could help with COVID-19 patients. ABC's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton.
Well, let's do a little Remdesivir 101. First of all, this is an intravenous drug that failed against Ebola, but in a lab setting, it has shown some efficacy against SARS and MERS, which are in the coronavirus family. Whenever we look at data, we normally have to compare the standard of care with placebo versus the investigational drug. They did not test Remdesivir against placebo, and in terms of the numbers, they had about a 1.8% fatality rate. So again, you have to make sure that a drug is safe and effective in this setting. So they're testing it in moderately and severely ill patients. And right now it's in clinical trials all over the world. It is in short supply, although the company is manufacturing and ramping up production, but it is not available at every hospital yet. But some infectious disease specialists that we're speaking to are cautiously optimistic.
And be sure to stay with KSL News Radio all day for coronavirus coverage every 30 minutes. Quick check of your money, sponsored by Utah Community Credit Union. Love where you bank. The Dow up by nearly 400 points, nearly up 2 percentage points. It's up 393, sitting at 23,931. S&P up by 43. The NASDAQ at this hour up by 27 points. Let's get a look at your traffic and weather. It's sponsored by Mountain America Home Equity Loans, equal housing lender. Good afternoon, Ricky Meese.
Good afternoon, Maria. And it is emergency traffic due to a freeway closure on northbound I-15 in Draper. Right now, you will be forced off of northbound I-15 at 114 South. That's causing stop-and-go delays almost back to about 146 South, bordering on the Bluffdale line. Now, this freeway is closed due to debris that was dropped across the freeway, and that debris happened to be gravel. So it was pinging up and hitting cars around it. Street sweepers are on the scene right now, but they still have no estimated time as to when the freeway is going to reopen. In the meantime, just avoid northbound I-15 going from Bluffdale into Sandy. Use State Street or 7th East as your alternate until northbound I-15 at 114th South can be reopened. This year, don't struggle with weeds and big bags of fertilizer. Turn that job over to Stewart's, Utah's number one local lawn care company. Green lawn, weeds gone with stewartslawn.com. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
And let's get a look at the forecast with Brett Benson.
Plenty of sunshine, but temperatures still below average. Warmer for the weekend. I'm Brett Benson.
Yeah, it is a little bit cool out there, 46 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. And again, we are standing by for a news conference from Governor Gary Herbert to talk about how Utah will phase in the reopening of the economy. We'll bring that to you live right here on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. This is Utah's news station.
With the uncertainty of today's economic outlook for retirees, there's never been a more critical time to consider a reverse mortgage than now. You see, when you add your house into your financial mix, you might just find out your economic outlook isn't as bleak as you think. From reducing your monthly expenses, increasing your monthly cash flow, or just simply having an extra bucket of money as a resource, a reverse mortgage may just be the ticket to a happier, more secure retirement. After a lifetime of work, maybe it's time you let the equity in your home do the heavy lifting. If you or someone you know could benefit from these resources, give Reverse Freedom a call and they'll show you all your options. To get a free reverse mortgage analysis from Reverse Freedom right here in Utah, call 801-921-HOME. 801-921-HOME. Call Reverse Freedom right now at 801-921-HOME or visit reversefreedom.com. NMLS number 1382816.
Hey there, homeowners. Have you had that annoying experience of low water pressure in the shower where you hardly had enough pressure to wash the shampoo out of your hair? You know, the same shower you have to yell, "Don't flush the toilet, I'm in the shower!" Don't put up with this anymore. Get rid of those old, rusty, corroded pipes and get brand new PEX or copper pipes. Repipe Specialist does repiping unlike anyone else. It's all they do. They've been giving customers great water pressure, clean, clear water, and a pipe leak-free home for over 25 years. All in just 1 to 2 days at half the cost of a plumber with a lifetime guarantee. Everyone deserves great water pressure, and no more getting scalded in the shower or having to see and drink rusty colored water. Call us today for your free in-home estimate. We'll even take 20% off our already low price when you call us today. Repipe Specialists. Call today, 888-583-6988, 888-583-6988, 888-583-6988.
These are changing times, a bit worrisome and unsettling, but there is something positive you could do right now, something that lets you take control of your financial future regardless of what the market is doing or what's happening in the world. I'm making money from home with Tri-Day Trading. I have a flexible schedule, I have the freedom to work from home, and I day trade using their money. That's right. You make trades using their money, and you keep up to 80% of the profits. You can also learn how it all works and how to trade using their online tutorials, so you stay safe, you take charge, and you start making money from home. Tri-Day Trading is offering a 30-day trial for just $10. It's your opportunity to put your financial future into your own hands. Visit TriDayTrading.com. Try it out for 30 days for just $10. Find out how to make money from home with TriDayTrading.com.
Remember, you can take us anywhere you go on the KSL News Radio app. It's sponsored by Any Hour Services. KSL News Time, 12:15. The three things you need to know this hour first.
A trio of organizations are unveiling a plan to produce 5 million medical-grade masks. They call it the largest Utah-based volunteer effort since the O2 Olympics. I'm KSL News Radio's John Wojcik.
Second, a large outbreak of the coronavirus has been found at the Men's Homeless Resource Center in South Salt Lake. Of 205 people tested there, 94 have tested positive. Third is look at your noontime drive, and it's sponsored by Mountain America Home Equity Loans, equal housing lender. Here's Ricky Meese.
It is emergency traffic with northbound I-15 closed in Draper. Everyone will be forced off the freeway at 114th South due to debris on the road. Right now you have delays almost back to Bluffdale. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Sunny but cool on Friday, warmer for the weekend. I'm Brett Benson.
Mostly cloudy skies and 46 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. Time now for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Texas Governor Greg Abbott expected to detail plans to reopen businesses in his state in phases beginning in late April. It includes lifting restrictions on elective medical procedures, and the third phase would come sometime in May with expanded testing and data to support cases are down. In New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo pushing back against President Trump's tweets today, claiming that the governor is to blame for the state becoming a hotspot for cases and deaths, saying his state and other states in the nation need federal help when it comes to widespread testing so states can reopen their economies.
Don't ask the states, don't give them this massive undertaking that has never been done before, and then not give them any resources to do it. That's not how this is going to work. The expression, don't pass the buck without passing the bucks.
630 people have died of coronavirus over the past 24 hours in New York. Governor Cuomo calling that number too high to relax restrictions. And there's a rising number of coronavirus-related deaths in nursing homes.
10 different nursing homes in New York each have at least 30 confirmed coronavirus deaths. Newly released data from the state health department show a nursing home in Brooklyn with the most death, 55 residents have died of COVID-19. In all, nearly 2,500 deaths have occurred in nursing homes and other long-term care facilities statewide. That's about one in every five coronavirus deaths in this state.
ABC's Aaron Katursky. In California, health officials say the state now seeing a disparity in the death rate for African Americans, and they're addressing it in Oakland.
The emergency task force set up by Oakland and Alameda County will look at why black residents are dying at a higher rate and write legislation to reduce health disparities for people of color. They're also being tasked with developing a vulnerability index to measure disparities between those of color and not.
ABC's Alex Stone. You're listening to ABC News.
Time now for the KSL In-Depth. Caring for elderly relatives can be a challenge, and even more so during a pandemic with stay-at-home orders and social distancing guidelines. KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce has more in this In-Depth report.
Sue Bolden helps take care of her 93-year-old mother and aunt who live in a retirement home in Murray. Although none of the residents there have tested positive for the coronavirus, there's been at least one scare, so now Sue can't visit her mom or aunt. The facility is also taking precautions.
They are not bringing the people back to eat together until this thing is over. So they deliver to their apartments their breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Sue appreciates that they've been proactive and let people know what's going on day to day.
They also put a paper on their door that's got things about what they can and cannot do.
But being in a high-risk group to get the coronavirus herself, she wishes the governor had issued a stay-at-home order.
By people not being locked down and staying in their place, it has extended our time to be away from my mother.
And it's frustrating when even her extended family members have violated social distancing orders by greeting returning missionaries at the airport. But maybe all this is a good reminder of the benefits of social distancing right now.
I want to hug my mother. She and my aunt do not understand why I won't hug them.
Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.
And the news conference by Governor Gary Herbert and economic leaders now being held at the state capitol. Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox beginning the introduction.
To move closer to our new normal, we recognize that many have worked around the clock in preparing this document, preparing our response as we move in and begin to open the economy. This is good news for Utahns everywhere, and we will now hear from Governor Gary Herbert. Following the governor, we will Speaker Brad Wilson will speak to us, followed by Brandy Grace with the Utah Association of Counties. Following Brandy, President Stuart Adams, the President of the Senate, will speak. Then Sister Jean B. Bingham from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And following Sister Bingham, Derek Miller, who has chaired the Economic Task Force in preparing this document, will join us. Governor Herbert. All right, we apparently are having some technical difficulties, so we're going to pause for a second.
As you can hear, we are trying to bring you a news conference from the state capitol. Governor Gary Herbert and business leaders set to talk about how we are going to.
It sounds
to
like those on Facebook are not hearing
recovery.
Us on
Spencer
the Facebook
Cox,
live
Governor
feed.
Spencer Cox still speaking.
Members of the media, can you give me a thumbs up if you can hear? All right. We're getting thumbs up from all of our media members. Okay. We will try to fix the audio on Facebook, but in the meanwhile, we're going to go ahead and move forward. Governor Herbert will join us to announce the launch of Utah Leads Together version 2.0. Governor Herbert.
Well, thank you, Lieutenant Governor. Sounds like maybe we have a little virus in our technology here today. Let me thank Spencer for his good work and those on the task force. Again, for not only was it quick action, you know, we first met about this issue on March 2nd, and we had the task force organized right after that, and then had a plan in place by March 24th. So we were up very quickly, made some decisive decisions with the help of many people, the legislature, community leaders, business leaders, and put a foundation in place that's really led to the good news that we're going to share with you today. So I thank all those who've worked very hard. We know this is a challenging time in so many different areas and levels of our economy, our disruption of our families, our social lives. We know it's been a challenging time. And first and foremost, we want to thank all those of Utah who helped us get through this to this point. We've still got a ways to go, but we're much further ahead, as you heard the Lieutenant Governor say, than we thought we would be at this time. And really, just 5 or 6 weeks, we've done very well to get to the point we're at today, certainly compared to other states in the nation. As you know, our plan that we put together, and again, it's Utah Leads Together, which is a very foundational document of what we need to be doing as we go through three phases. The first one is urgency. The next one is stabilization, which we're going to be moving into quickly here now, good news. And then last is recovery. And we're going to talk about this is a dynamic program, which we are, in fact, improving. So today we're actually talking about Utah Leads Together 2.0. as we move forward. So again, this has been the work of many people, and we thank them all, and we certainly thank the people of Utah for implementing and following the directions that we've given to them as we've gone through this difficult time. I certainly want to thank those of who've practiced good social distancing, which has been a new term in our nomenclature here. As we continue to adhere to those directions, we're going to be able to slow down the spread and phase out the spread of this coronavirus and help us to get to where we want to get to, and that is the phased-in recovery and reactivation of our economy. We have a lot of good news here, I think, to share with you today. By the way, I was on a conference call with the president yesterday prior to his public announcement of his own plan of how we're going to have economic recovery here in the country. And he recognized the uniqueness of the states, which I appreciated the fact we're not all the same.
And you are listening to a news conference from the state capitol with Utah Governor Gary Herbert and other business leaders talking about how they're going to reopen the economy. Apparently, we are having a few technical difficulties, and let's listen in for another second and see if they're back. And they are not back. So we are going to take a quick break here on KSL News Radio, and we'll return in just a moment.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org, a public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Thank you for your patience. Apparently a problem with the microphone that has now been resolved, and back to Utah Governor Gary Herbert.
And I was very pleased to see that his plan really does very much mirror the plan we already have in place. It's very complimentary and certainly compatible with what we're doing. And so I feel very good about what he said and what we are already doing and are going to do in conjunction with the rest of the country today. He did mention a couple of things I think are important to mention. The cornerstone of the effort is for the states themselves to have clear and plans and data-driven metrics. That's really been the focus that we've had here in our own state. Make sure we our solutions to the problem are data-driven, not by fear, not by politics, but by good information so we can develop good policy. The president suggested in his talk with us yesterday that, and part of his plan is that we need to make sure that the curve of infection is declining, which it is here in the state of Utah now, that outbreaks of the disease can be detected, and we certainly are doing better with testing. We still have a ways to go, in my view, to get to where we need to be doing with testing. That vulnerable populations are protected. Again, we've talked about that. Those people are 60 years of age and over. Those who have underlying health problems need to be extra cautious as we move forward. Even though we may loosen up regulations for others, for them, they need to be very careful about their own vulnerability. And last but not least, he talked about hospital capacity, including our intensive care units. We've worked very closely with our hospital associations and those involved in health care, small and large, to make sure that we have hospital beds available. We'd have a number of beds that are available. We have more, I think, than we need. But we also need to make sure that we have protective, personal protective equipment and serums and medicines to make sure that those rooms can handle the needs of COVID-19 patients, as well as others, if we expand into having more elective surgery, for example, to expand in that area. He also, the president, wanted us to make sure we have established clear guidelines for how we as individuals must continue to do our part. And, of course, we've talked about protective hygiene. The hand washing needs to continue. Sing happy birthday twice, 20 seconds. Wearing protective masks. Having still some social distancing that takes place, that needs to continue. And maybe in many ways even more aggressively. Masks need to be a part of your repertoire, part of your fashion statement, as I've said, as we move into, hopefully out of urgency and move towards stabilization. Those areas need to continue to be practiced. The interesting thing is this was announced yesterday, and he said to the states, start doing and preparing and planning. A lot of states are scrambling, trying to find a way to, in fact, incorporate the Trump plan. And the good news for us here in Utah is that we are not having to scramble because we already have a plan in place, which we have been implementing for now over a month. And the good news for us is our plan is working. It's bending the curves. It's doing the things that it's designed to do to help us get out of the urgency stage and move into stabilization. So we're not scrambling here. I feel very good about where we're at. I feel good that we're in harmony with what the White House is doing. We've been a leader. I can tell you that the plans we have is, in fact, the most comprehensive plan for reactivation, slowing the spread of the coronavirus, but the reactivation of the economy of any state in America today. We have the most comprehensive plan to do that of any state in America, and we're underway to do that. By the way, as we move to this next stage, we should probably emphasize this is not like a light switch that it's off and now we switch it and it's on. This is more like a dial where we're going to be dialing this and have incremental steps that we'll take as we open up opportunity for the economy to go back and function as it has in the past. This program we have in place with, again, Utah Leads Together 2.0 is designed to continue to help protect the health of the people of Utah and relying on real-time data. And it's the transmission results are gonna, and detection and hospital capacity are all going to continue to be a part of our efforts going forward, and again, with special attention to the vulnerable populations. So to that end, let me just mention, the Lieutenant Governor has already mentioned this, but I've asked House Speaker Brad Wilson to explain how the plan's color-coded health guidelines will be used to implement the plan. This pathway forward, he's going to explain that aspect of this new updated version of Utah Leads Together 2.0. I've also asked, because our plan really respects the regions. We reject the one-size-fits-all mentality that often permeates government. We have a large state with regional differences. And so to speak to that issue, we've invited Brandy Grace, who's the Chief Operating Officer of the Utah Association of Counties. Counties certainly are representative of regions throughout the state of Utah, and she can speak to that aspect of the plan. The Utah Leads Together plan will also help inform us about how state policy regarding economic reactivation and how we are going to move forward, consistent with our collaborative efforts we've already had in the past and will continue in the future, not only with the executive branch, but with the legislative branch and also with the community at large and our business interest. And we've asked Senate President Stuart Adams to address that feature. And the plan does ask for continued personal vigilance regarding personal behavior and hygiene and protective hygiene in those areas that we've talked about. And I've invited Sister Jean Bingham, General President of the Relief Society of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to discuss, among other things, how individuals can make use of face coverings, the masks that you see us wear, to protect our public health, ourselves, and those that are with us. And I've also asked, Sister Bingham, I hope you can talk to us about some of the new efforts of the new partnerships that have been forged here to help produce both personal and medical-grade face masks and protective equipment, and how all the citizens of Utah can get involved in that effort. This is a major opportunity for us to help each other. And finally, a major component, really, the end result of a lot of this effort of our Utah Leads Together plan is about industry-specific best practices consistent with regulations the government has in place today regarding workplace safety, sanitation and hygiene. Derek Miller, the president, and CEO of the Salt Lake Chamber of Commerce, will explain how those have been developed, the regulations we have in place, and how they may vary depending on changing health guidance, and why this is so critical for employers, employees, and customers to work together as we open up the economy once again. Now, before I turn the time over to Speaker Wilson, let me just say a few concluding remarks. As I mentioned, this Utah Leads Together 2.0 plan gives us a pathway forward that together we can actually improve, get out of urgency, and into stabilization. That's a key issue for us. We've got to do that before we can get into recovery. We're close to that. We're not quite there yet. A lot will depend upon what we do over these next couple of weeks, all of us individually, as we continue to, in fact, practice social distancing, wear masks where appropriate when we do our grocery shopping and are out and about. And we'll be able to monitor with the data we've got in place and the protocols will help us, in fact, see if this spread continues to decrease, which I anticipate that it will. And with your help, I know it will. That will allow us, in fact, to respond appropriately for the next steps. The trend looks positive, but now's not the time for us to pull back on our safety protocols. If the trend continues, and with your help, I believe that it will, I foresee the opportunity for us here starting the 1st of May to start to begin relaxing restrictions that we have in place now to help open up our society and particularly help us start opening up our economic opportunities. Specifically, I'm hopeful that by early May, we can, with strict social distancing, begin to open up sit-down dining. I'm hopeful that by the first part of May that we can resume as clinically appropriate on an outpatient basis or at facilities that adhere to CMS guidelines, resume elective surgeries. I'm hopeful that by the first part of May, if we continue to adhere to social distancing guidelines and sanitation protocols in these locations, we can open up our gyms to the public. All this, again, depends upon continued adherence to our stay safe, stay home directive. There's one area of relaxation we're ready to make available today, starting today. We've talked about people having the opportunity to have outdoor, safe outdoor recreation. It allows us to travel to some of our state parks. We've limited that to recently to just those who live in the county where the park is placed. We're going to lift those restrictions today and allow people to go to any of our 43 state parks at their leisure, at their desire. Now, with one or two caveats, some of our state parks are under local health department orders of closure. We're going to work with the local health departments to see if we cannot lift those restrictions so that all the state parks will be open, but they are not right now, although that's what we desire them to be. Again, we'll be working with our national state parks to see if we can open up the national parks too, at least to the people of Utah. It may be difficult to have others come from other places, particularly international travelers, but there may be an opportunity for us to open up our national parks too so we can have and enjoy that opportunity this summer. So thanks to everybody for what you do. This is a collaborative effort. When we talk about Utah Leads Together, we mean together. And all of us have a role to play, and as we do our part, we're going to get closer to economic recovery and closer back to normalcy as we've understood it here a few months back.